You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast ahead of the biggest event of the golfing season, the 145th Open Championship from Royal Troon. Good to have you with us, Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall here in situ, ready to talk about the eagerly awaited third major championship of the golfing season. Mike, looking forward to this.
Very much so, Dave, but before we start, we've got to say well done to you. Because you got Alex Noren last week at 52-1 in the Scottish Open, so congratulations. A nice, only had two picks, and your second one was pretty much just outside the top 10.
Yeah, so, it was a good week, wasn't it?
Very good week, well done. That's given followers some cash to play with for the big one.
Back-to-back good weeks after Dustin Johnson as well, so we and the each-way double the week before, so we're rolling now.
On a roll, just in time, yes.
Yeah, not before time.
Let's get stuck into this Open Championship then, 145th edition, and here with William Hill, Dustin Johnson and Jason Day are 9-1 joint favourites. Rory McIlroy 10-1, Jordan Spieth is 12-1, Adam Scott 22s, Sergio Garcia 25-1, Brandon Grace and Henrik Stenson and Ricky Fowler all 28-1, and it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. And if you are betting each way here with William Hill, we're paying seven places on the Open Championship. So 50 odds, first seven here with William Hill for each way punters this week. Joint favourites at the top of the betting market here with William Hill. But let's start with the golf course. Dave Tindall, you were on the podcast last week, live from Royal Troon last Tuesday, a week early. Royal Troon's hosted nine Open Championships. Is there any difference? You'll have been to a lot of Open venues in your time, Dave. Is there anything unique about Troon?
I just quite like its logic. It goes kind of nine out, nine back in.
18 holes then.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good start. It's
one of the classics. Classic 18-holer.
It is different from others, though, in that regard, isn't it?
It's one of those
ones. Some of them meander, don't they?
I can picture it in my head easier, I think. Mm. Because some of them, yeah, like Royal St George's, you could ask me now and I couldn't name you a hole or which way it goes. And but this one, yeah, it's kind of six run out along the coast to start with, and then it turns back in seven and then an eight, that postage stamp, yeah, and then nine back along the coast, and then it sort of turns back in. Yeah. And it's almost nine back, barring one little other little jink. But yeah, so it does make it, I think it's
front nine easier than the back nine.
As long as it's the prevailing wind, which is a northwesterly, if it's that, then it's behind you on the front nine.
Yeah.
But if it isn't, then, and the forecast I've seen, it's a strange wind. It's a kind of an atypical wind this week.
Okay.
But it does now have changed quick. When I went up there on...
I wouldn't be betting on the wind 2 days in advance, would you?
That's the problem. It can
change so quickly.
I went up there on the Tuesday, and on the Monday I looked at my phone for the weather, and it was just horrendous. I thought, shall I even bother going? I'm just going to... Mm. And then I got there.
It was fine.
Sunshine. Mm. So, yeah. You know... When I looked at the weather forecast yesterday, it was westerlies and the southwesterly, which would be different, but you've got to
leave it pretty late, haven't you? I'll come on to that later, I have a theory.
That's why, I've got to... It's going to alter some of my bets, actually, that, because I want to know.
As far as this championship is concerned, when it's been hosted by Royal Troon, we've had six straight American winners. Todd Hamilton won here at a big price in 2004. Prior to that, Justin Leonard had won in 1997. And since 1950, when Bobby Locke won, all six winners have been American winners. Do you think that's coincidental or not, Mike?
Well, I think the Americans were very strong in golf, weren't they, in the 60s, 70s and 80s and 90s even. And it's just probably they probably won most of the majors in that period, didn't they, if you think about it. So there's only been two Opens here in the last, how many is it, 19 years?
Yeah.
So it's not a lot, is it, really? And the golf world has changed, hasn't it, in that time? I certainly think Americans are underrated when it comes to links golf.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But I don't think someone who is non-US should be marked down this week. That's what I think.
Yeah, the first two of those were Arnold Palmer and Tom Watson. I mean, you know, they could have won anywhere, couldn't they?
Correct.
Tom Weisskopf had won loads that season. He was banging form.
Yeah, he was, yeah, top player.
Calcavecchia, we all know, top player.
He was a top player at that time, yeah. Wasn't he? So, but the Europeans and particularly Europeans, but South Africans, I suppose, well, Australians, they've come on a lot, haven't they, in the last... There's a lot more good players from those parts of the world. So I that's my view anyway. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's probably coincidental more than anything. Yeah.
I think a better stat is that, maybe not for Palmer, but all six of those winners had won that season.
Yes.
Even Todd Hamilton, Dave.
Even Todd Hamilton.
Even Todd Hamilton.
Honda Classic, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
And we've had a heated discussion about that throughout the the course of the last couple of days. I was going to talk about the draw. Mike, you said you had a theory about this, and the draw is difficult. It's difficult to predict which side of the draw is going to be better suited.
It's almost impossible this week because the forecast is just, it's very hard to work out what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But my theory is, and I say this every year on this podcast, is that I'm going to save quite a lumpy bit of my stakes back until after at least the first round. Let's see what exactly is happening, how it's playing, and it's probably easier to judge the forecast for Friday on Friday morning than on Tuesday morning, you know, stating the obvious.
Yeah.
So I am going to have a couple of little bets pre-tournament, but basically because the each way odds are so attractive when they're a seventh, as that's a really lures me in a little bit. But that's my theory, Dave. I look at it and I can't quite work out. I think probably best to be an early starter on the first day, but then it might switch around a little bit on the second day, would be my gut feeling. I think the early starts look a little bit better to me. But for that reason, I'm holding a bit of state back.
I was speaking to Jamie Spence on the preview I posted yesterday on the William Hill website and on audioboom.com, and he was saying he always preferred, when he ever played in an Open Championship and spoke to people who did play in Opens, he always preferred, I know the weather can be indifferent and change, but going out early on Thursday morning.
I think so.
He liked getting around in on the Thursday morning.
Yeah, I was looking at, there's a stat that only one of the last 12 winners of the Open was outside the top 10 after round one. So if you get off to a good early start, you can kind of have a middling round in two or three even, but once you've got that start under your belly, it helps. And it just looks to me as though the forecast slightly favours Thursday early starters. So I'm interested in that.
Yeah, and don't ignore massive outsiders as well, because the last four winners, Zach Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Phil Mickelson and Ernie Els, all obviously big names. But before that, Darren Clarke, Louis Oosthuizen and Stuart Sink were all big prices. And go back further, Ben Curtis and Todd Hamilton. Todd Hamilton,
stop
obviously.
Stop grouping those together.
They were monster prices, though, weren't they? And you
shouldn't have been.
And obviously they won in back-to-back years. So don't ignore those at massive odds as well.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. I certainly agree with Mike's point about holding something back, and it's probably why I'm not going to back Dustin Johnson just yet. I might wait till the day, because he's 9-1 now. I think he might drift. I think if... You know, he's got an afternoon tea time.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't pull the trigger on him before.
And if he starts well, Dave, and from an afternoon tea time, he's, 7-1, but has started well. Even more reason to go in bigger, isn't it?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, you know, just you've got to judge it. And if it looks like the early teas are going to be better on Friday particularly, then, you know, there's nothing, you don't get paid any more for backing winners before the event than during it, do you? If it's the same price.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Plus with
play
him,
clever, I think.
Yeah, that price, I'd be thinking more of a win-only bet anyway, so I'm not losing the each-way terms or anything.
I think that's very, very shrewd.
Okay, let's get stuck in then. Picks for the Open Championship. Dave Tindall, how many do you have?
Three.
I've got three as well.
Yeah, well, you're both a bit greedy, so I'm only going to have two.
Okay. You can kick us off then, Dave, this week.
Yeah, you could almost replay my Brandon Grace comments from last week, because I'm going for him again.
Okay.
I was a bit confused by him last week. He did everything I thought he would for the first two rounds. I think he was top five after 36 holes.
Yep.
He looked like the winner, didn't he, really?
Yeah, and then just kind of went off the boil. But I didn't really mind that, because as part of you, you don't want him under the gun all four rounds often. And a lot of the previous winners of the Open had played in the Scottish Open, kind of been in the middle of the pack a bit. So I don't mind that he's done that. He was on Sky's preview show yesterday that I watched, and he was showing some of the shots he hit. He's got a very low ball flight, and he was showing some of the drivers he can hit, just how he changes his stance and just punch it along the ground and let it roll out. So he's definitely got the game for links golf. Won the Alfred Dunhill Links, won the that South African tournament at Fancourt Links, which I think is where he's attached to.
He's based there, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
So he's a really good links player. Didn't quite show it. I think it was the rain that put him off a bit last week rather than the wind, because he's a really good player in the wind. He won at Qatar. Obviously, you get a lot of wind there. And he's a top 10 player in the world now. And just really, really playing well in the majors. We've seen...
to challenge that, Dave, because everything you said is absolutely true. But I was surprised at his Open record when I looked at it.
I was thinking that as well.
It's one of the... Because I totally agree with you. He looks to me 100% a links player, low ball flight. But he's actually, his links performances have been a little bit middling, haven't they? They haven't been tremendous. So,
it's one of these ones. Sometimes Americans see making cuts better than we do. Because an American say he's 5 for 5 in the Open, saying that's all good then, isn't it? Well, we're thinking, well, look, there's a 40th in there.
Yeah, just nothing better than 20th.
Yeah, but at least the 20th was last year at St Andrews.
Yeah.
So I think...
And he's improving, isn't he, obviously?
It took him a little while to get his feet in the majors, but I think once, now he has, I think he's ready to win one. We've seen Oosthuizen win an Open, we've seen Schwartzel win the Masters, Els won the US Open, when all at a young age in their 20s. He's now 28. I think South Africans are something steely about them, I think. And particularly him, we've seen him, if he gets in front, you know, he's a very, very, very good front runner, isn't he? And just wobbled ever so slightly at Chambers Bay, but still has a big, big performance there. I mean, he got to the 70th hole.
Wasn't it?
Got to the 70th. I thought he played great that day, but people remember the bad bit. We've got a nice price on him, 28 to 1. I like that. I think that's a good each way price on Brandon Grace for a player who's really, really come on strong.
It might be worth as well to some of the top of the betting, just holding 5 until Wednesday morning, because often here with William Hill, you do get some nice push outs on Wednesday morning as well.
I think that's very possible, Dave. Obviously, there are 7 places this year, so there'll be less of them, I would think, but there'll definitely be some push outs. And Grace could easily be one, couldn't he? So, that might be a wise thing to do. Wait till Wednesday morning.
Okay, Brandon Grace, your first selection. I'm going to have a go with Jordan Spieth as my number one pick this week. He's 12 to 1 currently here with William Hill. And I even though he threw away the Masters this season, I think it was understandable that it was let down at the US Open subsequently on the back of that, something that was mentioned in this in detail in this podcast. Since the US Open, he's gone on to win at the Dean and DeLucia Invitational, where his short game performance was seemingly sent from the gods that week. It was incredible. His two performances after that were a little scratchy, but very encouraged by his play a couple of weeks ago at Firestone on a course that I don't think would suit his game anywhere near as well as this one at Royal Troon does. He generally speaks pretty candidly about his game and his performances, Spieth. And after that closing round of 67... he talked about how he was back in full control of his ball flight and was shaping the ball both ways again. And he'd eradicated that two-way miss that had plagued him since the Masters, which is a nightmare for any golfer. And let's not forget, his form in major championships before the US Open mid-division finish was win-win, tied fourth, tied second, which is astounding, really. And he arrived at this major earlier than he ever has, preparing for the Open at Royal Troon. I'm pretty convinced he's going to be bang there on Sunday. Getting 7 places, I think he's a standout each way bet.
He's kind of like a sort of gold version of Justin Leonard, isn't he? That won in 1997 from Texas. Brilliant putter.
Yeah,
but he's Jordan Spieth.
Texas, they grew up playing in the wind quite a bit, don't they? It's quite windy down there. So, yeah, I think I'll have a saver on Spieth myself. He's definitely one of the market leaders I fancy the most. And particularly if he's pushed out at all on the Wednesday, I'd be looking to back him at the very least as a saver. My main bet, though, is Martin Keimer, who's in great form. I picked him the last couple of weeks. He's got 4 top 13s on his last 8 starts. He was 13th in Scotland on Sunday. That followed up a 5th in France, 7th at Wentworth, 5th in Ireland, 6th in Spain. A couple of average finishes in the US Open and the TPC mixed in among those. But he's just in really good form. He'll need to putt better than he did last weekend. But his greens in regulation starts are great at the moment. He's hitting the ball ever so well. He's a major winner, this guy. If he gets in contention, he could easily make it major win number 3. He's also won at the Players and he's also won a WGC event. So he knows how to win big events. 45 to 1 with the 7 places. Definitely worth a look for me. His Open record's good as well. 3 top 12s in his last 6 Opens, including a 12th last year at St Andrews. Yeah, I think Martin Keimer is a bigger price than players below him who will never win 2 majors. So I expect Martin Keimer to give a very good account of himself this week. I'm hoping he puts better than he has been doing.
Yeah.
That might stop him winning if he doesn't. But I have a funny feeling he'll be in the 7, whatever happens.
Yeah, Martin Kaymer. Like that a lot. 45-1, Martin Kaymer. Dave?
Yeah, just a slight few points below that, and he was bigger, but he got cut 10 points. Lee Westwood.
Do you fancy him?
Yeah.
Okay, 40-1, Lee Westwood.
Yeah. So why Lee Westwood? Firstly, the opener's in Scotland this year. Look at his open record. It's an absolute split down the middle. He's absolutely rubbish in England and brilliant in Scotland.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's had five top fives in Scotland, nothing anywhere near in England.
Oh, weird.
That is strange.
And two of those were at Troon. So he loves this course.
He does love Troon. Yeah. That's a very fair point.
Tied 10th in 97, 4th 2004. I think he's got three top threes in his last seven opens. He's got a fantastic record. I know what you're immediately thinking, well, he can't win, can he? But we're talking seven places. We're talking each way,
yep,
value at 40-1.
Yep.
And when you say he can't win, well, I almost thought Ernie Els couldn't win at Lytham. Ernie Els went off at 40-1. Similar thing in that he hadn't won at Lytham, but he got a really good record there. And I know you can say, well, yeah, he was a three-time major winner, but he hadn't won one for 10 years. And he'd had so much scar tissue and lost so many else. I think he'd forgotten. He turned up there not expecting to win, I don't think. And I think Westwood is a similar thing. Clark won one when you thought, well, Clark's done for the...
But you could argue 40s, is it maybe the 40s that you're hesitating about, Dave? Of course he can win. Westwood's a quality player.
I think he can win. And
but would you not want maybe a little bit bigger?
The
win bit. It's the each way. It's the place part you're more interested in, I
think. Yeah. And then I looked at top five, but I want to go because I think it's enough there to make me think he could win just that course form.
Yeah.
And I'd love it.
It'd be good if he won one, wouldn't
And
it,
he's
obviously.
Played great in the majors this year. Tied second at Augusta, which, again, I think people were thinking, well, he's probably... had his best golf's behind him. Then he had a really good US Open until the final round. He was paired with Dustin Johnson in that last round. But I think that's no bad thing, seeing actually being in the same group as someone who goes on to win. It's just a little thing in your head that you think, okay, let's see. Even though he's so experienced, he could see what Dustin Johnson did. And he's played really well since the Masters, really, all good finishes. I just think he goes to a course that he loves in good form. I think that's just a nice...
Okay.
Price.
Okay, 40-1, Lee Westwood for Dave's second pick. I'm going with the defending champion this week as my second selection, Zach Johnson at 66-1.
I've forgotten who that was for a minute. Who's the defending champion?
Well, yeah, there's two of them, I suppose, with McIlvoy not having played last year.
Got the wrong Johnson.
Maybe so, yeah. 66-1, Zach Johnson. We've not seen that many players defend an Open Championship. There have been a few, though. Admittedly, classier players than Zach Johnson. Arnold Palmer, Lee Trevino, Tom Watson and Tiger Woods the most recent.
He's won two majors though, Dave.
He has won two majors. And there's a tendency for...
Harrington won back-to-back.
Yeah.
Opens.
Of course he did, yeah. I missed Harrington out.
Yeah.
Mm. There's more of a tendency than I thought then. And you talk about experienced professionals being suited to Open Championships, don't you? And especially those at Troon in recent times, or relatively recent times. And I thought 66ers was a really good price. His lack of length, I don't think, will hurt him around here. That's my opinion. Strong wedge game, a huge positive. And he's kind of learned on the job as far as Lynx golf is concerned. Won at a venue last year, which he openly admitted didn't really suit his game at St. Andrews. And prior to that, he'd been tied for 16th at Royal St. George, tied for 9th at Lytham, tied for 6th at Muirfield. So his recent Open form is some of the strongest on offer in the field. And he closed with a fantastic 65 at Firestone when last seen. Short game was firing all cylinders. Prior to that, he'd finished tied for 8th at the US Open on what is a beast of a golf course at Oakmont. I don't see many negatives with Zach Johnson at 66-1.
Fair dues.
Yeah, so I'm going with him.
I picked a very similar player as my second pick, Dave. A lot of what you said applies to Jim Furyk.
Yeah, he's my third pick.
Is he?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Well,
mine.
Are we all on him? Are you on him as well?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
There you go. That's unusual, isn't it?
Well, it's unusual. I didn't think all three of us would be on him.
Well, there you go. I didn't think either of you'd be on him, so...
Like it's our fruit machine. It's all come up the same.
Let's hope it's lucky. Five top fives in Open Championships out of 20, so he's that's each way money. Plenty of times won in four. Given that he's 80-1 and seven places, I really like that. 23 top 10s in majors. He's a major winner. He was second in the US Open after coming back from injury this year.
Really good performance there a couple of months ago, or 6 weeks ago, should I say. Solid since then in the Quicken Loans and last time out in the, what was it, the last one?
Firestone.
Firestone, yeah. So, yeah, well, I don't want to say everything because I don't, you guys need to say something about him as well. But I think he's a very big price for a player who I'm just about. He was fourth here in 97, wasn't he? What do you think?
Yeah. Have we all looked at the odds expecting to find him at 50s and kept going?
That, I think that's
going, oh, well, man, he's 80s.
I think that's what it is with Jim Furyk. I think 80 to 1, he's been seriously underrated
very
in the market.
Much so.
I think the Firestone finish wasn't that good, was it? And because he'd finished second at the US Open, then 21st at Quicken Loans, and then obviously limited field at Firestone, and he finishes right down the field.
But Firestone's a bomber's course.
Yeah, no, I don't think it, I think it's a good thing as far as his price is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't really add much else
it was
to it.
Fourth at Troon.
Yeah,
got that
under. For some balance, he did miss the cut in 2004, didn't he? After 97, finishing fourth. But even then, he only shot 273s. It wasn't horrendous. So, I just was fourth in an Open 2 years ago. So
yeah, well, I've got.
Why not?
His last 10 majors, he's had four top fives. I mean, that's surprising.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, well, it doesn't equate to
no. So it's almost 40% of the time he's landing you the each way. Cassian, we've got seven places.
And by the way, this the Open is an event where experienced players do well. So his age really.
He's American. Americans always.
I think the tougher it is, the better for Jim Furyk.
Yeah,
well, I think if it gets really difficult out there, his swing won't break down. And we know he's as hard as nails.
Playing the wind, can't he? So I agree. So that's not quite amazing that we've all picked him.
There's
no wind. I had no wind of that. Genuinely,
yeah. I read some quotes that they interviewed him when he was he fourth at Hoylake or fifth top five, and they asking him about St Andrews, and he said, "Oh, I don't really like that course because it's a power hitter's course."
Yeah,
he said he likes ones that are. You know, and not that way. And he listed Troon as one of them. So he was tied 30th at St Andrews, which is all right because he'd missed the cut the previous two times there. So he thinks he can contend this week.
I mean, St Andrews definitely is a power course, isn't it? And some people think that this place is because there was quite a lot of big hitters up there last time. But there were other players that weren't. No. So I think it's just whoever plays well, don't
you? It's not long, is it, yardage-wise?
No.
The evidence is a bit mixed. And I can see why some people would think that being a long hitter would help, but I don't think it's the be-all and end-all here. It helps anyway if you hit straight and long, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, but, let's hope he go, Jim.
Yeah, back precisely. It saved us some time because that's all the selection's done, basically. We've been through our... we were going to have eight selections, but that's not the case anymore. With Jim Furyk, a pick for all three of us at 80-1. Let's talk about the market leaders then. You said, Dave, you're going to save some back and maybe back Dustin Johnson... win only in play if he has some ground to make up going out in the afternoon on the first day.
Yeah, I just think surely he can't shorten up, can he, in the morning, unless everyone has a disaster, but I can't, that's not going to happen. So, yeah, it's just so I can see the lie of the land a little bit more before pulling the trigger. I just didn't want to put him up now because I don't think there's anything to be gained by putting him up now.
That's fair comment. The two that I didn't like at the top of the betting, or liked least, obviously I've picked Jordan Spieth, Mike, but I thought there were negatives with Jason Day and with Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, Jason, what were your negatives about Jason Day?
My negatives about Jason Day is his Open record more than anything. I know he did compete last year at St Andrews, but that's a bomber's track. And
yeah, it's a bit likes, of an off, isn't it?
Yeah, he likes to flight the ball at such a height that maybe if the conditions are not conducive to high ball flight, he might struggle, and he's struggled with his 3-wood a little bit, collapsed ever so slightly at the WGC Bridgestone. I think there's a few negatives there.
Yeah, still third though, wasn't he? And he's not exactly dismal, is it?
He had it in the palm of his hand though, didn't he?
I do know what you mean about the links thing though, because St Andrews is slightly different to some of those, isn't it?
Did you see the clip of Rory taking six out of a bunker at the postage stamp?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, Sky... I don't know whether it was live on Sky News, but Sky posted it anyway. It's a... Is it Henny Zuhl? I think she was sort of doing a walk-on commentary, talking to him. And he went in the back right bunker on the postage stamp. It took him six to get out, and he was trying.
Right.
Also, just before we came in today, Rory's here on Tuesday, Rory's done a press conference about the Olympics where he's, to me, said some ill-advised things about the Olympics. Said, I didn't get into the game to grow the sport, I'd get in it to win majors and championships, which might well be the truth, but you've just no need to say it, my opinion.
It's a bit sort of young tiger comments,
He has a propensity to say things that he doesn't need to say, I think. And that, I don't know, we'll see over the next couple of days, but I think there'll be quite a bit of focus on that, and that can't help when you've got to be really game on for this. He's a very strong character, so it might not bother him, to be fair, but I'm not so sure about him for the Open. I think
it's patchy, isn't it, his own record?
Well, we've been in here a few times on this podcast and said for McIlroy to win an Open Championship, he'd need, or he'd want four benign days with the sun on his back. Yeah. I don't think he's going to get that on
the soft course. And it absolutely hurled it down, didn't it, at
Hoylake. Yeah.
And before he actually won there, there's some quotes that were quite, you know, did the round where it said something like, I don't see why I should change my game for 1 week of the year. So, I think he finds it a struggle, apart from St Andrews, which he always played well at, and it was gutting for him to miss it last year with his bad leg. And Hoylake, his Open record's pretty naff, isn't it? It's pretty poor.
It's one of my worries for Keimer, actually. He tends to... St Andrews are some of his best Open finishes, and there are players like that. I think Oosthuizen's another one where
their Open record might
be slightly masked by the fact that St Andrews is slightly different.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that's not the case with Keimer. But no, I wouldn't be that keen on McIlroy this week. I would definitely be contemplating a saver on Spieth. Like you, I think he could start well and get a grip on the
tournament. He's got a morning start, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has.
Okay, some of the other guys just in the second rung that are worth mentioning. We've talked about, obviously, Brandon Grace, Adam Scott, who broke my heart last year, 22-1. Adam Scott, who has that amazing Open record.
Yeah, I didn't know he broke your heart, did that?
He did. Poor lad. He did. Well, I was out there. We were watching, weren't we? And he missed that putt from... That must have been 1.5 feet, that putt.
What was he playing at?
Yeah, when he was favourite for the...
I batted him in running.
Going into the back nine, wasn't he?
And he drove out of bounds on 18. Who does that?
Just to twist the knife, basically, and miss out on the places altogether.
But to be fair, he has got a superb Open record in the last few years. And he's been in good form this year. He's won, obviously.
And he's won the Honda Classic, which is so many Open winners have won the Honda Classic.
That's true. Yeah. Windy conditions, isn't it, on that golf course?
Todd Hamilton.
But he's not for me at that price, having said that. He was close. He's actually on my last 4 or 5, which is not like him. He's normally one I kind of keep a little bit at arm's length. Yeah. But he was closer than usual.
Who else was on your list, Mike?
Matsuyama, I'm not too sure he hasn't just gone off the boil a little bit. I thought Dave might mention Mickelson, Dave Tindall.
Yeah, I was close to Mickelson, from 40s, is he still?
Yes.
Yeah. Third there, 2004, when he was basically couldn't play Opens up till that point. Clearly does like this course. Did well at Castle Stewart last week as well.
Finished quickly.
I read his quotes, he said he's starting to build some momentum. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he could take a player. Often Mickelson is either... He doesn't often come 10th in a major. He's either right up there or he's nowhere. So you could certainly back him each way, I think.
Well, he's 7 places. Yeah. You could say the same about Henrik Stenson, who struggled to win a major.
But he's got a lot of top 5, doesn't he?
He gets
a lot of
decent finishes and top 7. You could see that, couldn't you? He's come back in decent form after a poor US Open. So Stenson, I could see... I can't quite see him winning, but I could see him being the 7, you know?
Sergio Garcia should go well, but he's 25-1.
Absolutely same applies. You wouldn't want to. It's more of an each way bet than a win bet, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Best chance isn't it Open?
It is. The only little doubt is he had a run of 7 Opens where he was top 10 in 6 of them. The only one he wasn't was Troon, where he missed the cut.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether it was just a bad week or whether it's something else. I don't know.
Before we talk about some of the supporting markets as well, I just want to mention Rafa Cabrera Bello very quickly. He's 100-1, has had trouble closing out events, still only has 2 wins on the European Tour and hasn't won since 2012. But I still see a heck of a lot of upside with Rafa Cabrera Bello. He's not cracked the top 20 in the 4 Opens he's played in, but he's got links form and has played in well in the wind before also. Finished tied 4th at Royal County Down last season. I think he'll go well this week. He's 100-1, Rafa Cabrera Bello, Mike.
Yeah. I fancy a couple of outsiders a little bit myself, Dave. Danny Lee played ever so well in Scotland. He's 125-1 this week, which I think is a big price for someone who's been in decent form in the last year or so.
Yeah.
And he seemed to be talking very positively about Lynx golf when I saw him being interviewed. So, he hasn't a lot of experience of the Open, but he could outperform his odds. Chris Kirk got a top 20 on his only Open finish and has been playing sneaky well all season. He's any price, 150s or something like
that. I think 200. Yeah, 200.
He's a good player, you know. I'll be having a little save on him before the tournament. Chris Kirk is he's got an early start as well, and just some that links form is interesting.
I've got a 200-to-1 shot as well.
Go on.
Well, it's normally you guys' favourite, Russell Henley.
Yes. Yeah.
Tied 7th at St Jude a couple of weeks ago. Tied 20th at St Andrews last year, which was good. He's won by the seaside, hasn't he? He's won the Honda Classic, which we said is the real sort of. It's almost like a sort of. It used to be the Dante, didn't it? It was the best form guide to the Derby, that kind of thing. But is it still? I don't know.
Yes.
So it's one of those.
I don't think he won the Dante, though.
Yeah, pretty sure. But it's just one of those. I look through past winners of the Honda Classic, and could anyone in more recent times? Because Scott's his chance is known, but yeah, Henley. When I saw he was 200s, and he had that recent.
I can see those guys running well. The only thing against them, I suppose, and they're going for Lee and Kirk as well, is it usually helps to have played quite a few Opens, doesn't it? But these guys are at prices that give you a little bit of compensation for that, don't they, when they're that high? So I might have a couple of savers on them.
It's too soft for Henley and the Dante, by the way. He likes fast ground.
He likes the right-hand track as well.
Ground, yeah, I think that's the problem. Let's talk about some of the supporting markets then, because we've been through our main picks for the 145th Open Championship. I know you've got a selection, Mr. Grenham, in the first round leader market.
I have, yes. I'm
14-1 the field.
I'll have made all my money by about 1 o'clock on Thursday. I'm going for, and I don't know what price he is, I'm going for Ryan Palmer to be first round leader. Palmer is...
125-1.
That's a decent price. He's very early tee time, and he is 5th on the round one scoring average in the US, so he perennially starts well. And I just think he's this kind of player who's been in decent form this year, who at 125-1 could give us a little bit of a spin for our money.
Definitely. 125-1 for Ryan Palmer. Good win player, obviously, as well.
Correct, from Texas.
If I was picking someone in that market, I know the temptation is to pick a fancy price, but I would look at Spieth. I think he might get off to a flyer.
Well, I hope you're right. 16-1, I do hope you're right.
Yeah, he could
right.
be worse than that.
Yeah.
I mean, he has started fast in majors, hasn't he? So I think he might. If he's going to win, I don't think he's going to come flying through the field. I think he's going to be there from the start.
No, I can see your logic there, Dave.
I'm going with a bet in the top England player market here with William Hill. It's 5th, 1, 2, 3 and 4 in this market. And there were a few ways I wanted to play it. This is the one I've opted for. Tyrell Hatton, I'm going for at 16-1 each way in that market, point each way. Obviously, fast improving Hatton at the moment, having a stellar season on the European Tour. And I think because he's missed all four cuts in the Open Championships he's contested, he's maybe slightly underrated in the betting this week, be it either for this market, top England player, or for top GB and I. He's missed only two cuts all season. He's had five top 20s in succession before a slight lull, but obviously bounced back last week, finishing second behind Alex Noren at Castle Stewart. That's not his only piece of links form. He was a shot out of a playoff in extremely tough conditions at County Down last season, and in 2014, 4th at Royal Aberdeen in the Scottish Open. I'd be disappointed if he didn't crack the top four in that top England player market, so I'm going with Tyrell Hatton each way in that market.
In the top GB and I, Dave, which is a slightly bigger market than that one, I'd have a little bit of a look at Matt Fitzpatrick.
Would you?
Yeah. But I'm not going to have a bet on him, but he was the one I'd be closest to.
16s,
I thought, was reasonable in that market.
And one that's a little bit...
I like Westwood in that GB and I, 10s.
10-1 Westwood each way. And one market that won't be on many radars this week is top Danish player. There's only three players in there. One is Torbjørn Olesen, one is Søren Kjeldsen.
Lassie Jensen
is
playing
the other
together,
one.
Jensen and Kjeldsen.
Oh, they didn't realise that. I really think even money, if you're into that sort of thing, for Søren Kjeldsen to... win this market is a good one. I know Olesen has shown up in links events at Open Championships before, but I was close to giving Kjeldsen a good mention in the outright market.
Yeah, he could go well.
He could go very well. His recent major form has been good.
Not Kjeldsen, Olesen.
Yeah, he's had a few problems, Olesen.
He withdrew from a tournament recently, didn't he? So, I'd look at some of the other markets, Dave. I'd look at the top senior market, but I couldn't see a lot of value in that. That's one I usually like.
Yeah.
BJ's favourite in that, but... it was Ryan Palmer was my side market, I think. Top American as an outsider, someone I haven't mentioned yet. I just wonder whether Jimmy Walker might play a bit better than he has been playing. He's he's got a couple of, he's getting progressively better in. He's only played three Opens and he's got a couple of half decent finishes. So
don't you recall he did well at Hoylake for quite a while?
Yeah, yeah, and he's been in reasonable form this year, so he's a very big price.
40-1 he is in the top US player. I quite like the Jamie Spence did this as one of his supporting market pieces, and he went Patrick Reed. 22
Yeah, I nearly mentioned Reed. But I thought I mentioned too many Texans already. Yeah. But yeah, Patrick Reed's a good scrambler.
22-1 I don't mind that pick.
No, that's not the worst in the world. He played nicely, didn't he, at Castle Stewart?
Yeah. Yeah, because he almost
let me down a few times this year. Yeah. So he's on the naughty step.
He almost blew his chance. Well, he did blow his chance in the first round, but then came back really strongly.
Played well the last
Someone they were saying on Sky he didn't have a 3-wood. He turned up with a kind of 5-wood and it didn't go anywhere. Right. And then someone put it in his bag later in the week.
Oh, right, okay.
So I think that's his first round he didn't have it, and when he shot a big score.
Really?
So
that puts me off him if you don't know what clubs do.
Well, because of the conditions, yeah, he didn't realise that's what you'd need.
Well, do you have a tennis racket?
Yeah, badminton racket.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay, chaps, let's recap the selections then for the Open Championship.
Save some stakes for in-play betting, we say every year. But other than that, I'm going Keimer and Furyk each way at 45s. And 80s, and I'll let you make your own point staking up because you've got to save some back, and I'll tweet any bets I have on Twitter, rather, obviously.
Yeah.
And I'll have a little bet on Spieth, I think, as a saver to get my stakes back, and first round leader, you don't need to have a lot on in that market at Ryan Palmer, so that'd be my main bits.
I'm going to go 2.5 points each way on Jordan Spieth at 12.
Bullish
this week, and a point each way on the other two chaps, Zach Johnson 66-1 and Jim Furyk at 80-1.
And I'm tempted to wait for Wednesday for Spieth, maybe. Or...
Yeah, I'd probably wait until Wednesday morning just to see if he drifts ever so
slightly. 12, you're happy with 12s anyway.
Yeah, I'm happy with 12s, but hopefully he'll get a little bit bigger on Wednesday morning. And a point each way, Tyrrell Hatton to be top England player at 16-1.
Yeah, I'll have a point and a half each way on Brandon Grace at 28s, and then a point each way, Lee Westwood at 40s, and a point each way, Jim Furyk at 80s.
Very good. You can follow us all on Twitter, please do, at D. Kellner, at M. Grenham, at Dave Tyndall Golf. Final question, who's the player you don't want to win?
Jim Furyk.
This week. Got to be, hasn't it?
No, I don't want to win.
That's the player that the listeners don't want to win this week, because
now,
we'll be so smug
won't
next
we?
Week.
Absolutely horrendous, won't it? I will probably say there, Phil Mickelson.
Okay, I'd go Rafa Cabrera-Bello.
I'll probably go Adam Scott.
Adam Scott. Very good. Thank you for listening to this podcast, folks. Do make sure you download it on iTunes. Type in William Hill. You can get us on audioboom.com as well. Type in William Hill. Betting play throughout the 145th Open Championship here with William Hill. Good luck. Have an enjoyable week, and we'll speak again with a debrief next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.